Hey now, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well. Welcome into the live stream. Hope everyone is doing well. If you're new here, please go ahead and hit that subscribe button. We cover real estate related news and information. Our whole goal with this channel is to make you a more intelligent real estate investor. I've done thousands of real estate deals in my career, and I've seen it all. And we're certainly entering an interesting market time right now. So that's what I wanted to talk about today as we head into the deeper part of the fall. Traditionally a slower time for the retail space as we head towards Christmas, towards the holidays. Not a lot of people wanting to move during the holidays. But that's okay, though, because they're not going to be moving anyway because there are no houses. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about this housing crisis. Welcome into the Real Estate Investing Show. I'm Clayton Morris, again, longtime real estate investor, done thousands of real estate deals over the years, and I've seen all sorts of different market situations. We're really in an interesting time right now, both with incredibly low interest rates and a Federal Reserve that is beginning to pull back the amount of money that it is attempting to throw towards Wall Street. So tapering their bond buying purchases, which has Wall Street kind of in a tizzy right now. So noticing a couple of things right now, you're noticing U.S. Treasury yields going up, Wall Street going down, nervousness about a jobs report that is coming out later this week, nervousness about interest rates that are going to be going up at some point, maybe in the next year. Right now, they're still going to be low for the foreseeable future, probably for the next 8, 9, 12 months or so. So now's the time to jump on those investment purchases. But we're also in a housing crunch. So a really interesting time as we head into this Q4 of this year. And I wanted to talk about the housing shortage specifically on today's show, because we had a new report out this week from Realtor.com, and there's a huge imbalance right now in the supply of homes and the number of people who want to become homeowners. Particularly, they found that U.S. homeowners or U.S. buyers that are in the market, they want about 5 million homes. Now, this is just on the retail side. I'm not even talking about sort of the lower income housing sector, where we are seeing a massive, massive shortage in that sector. I'm talking about like first time home buyers. I'm talking the millennial sect right now. It's interesting to think about the millennials, because millennials for quite a bit of time did not want to buy houses. And they were fine to live in the city. They were fine to say, we don't want houses. We want to live simply. You know, if anything, maybe we want like some of those tiny houses, you know, and it's interesting because when you have these tiny house situation, you have this tiny house situation and this minimalist movement that all went out the window. I mean, all of that went out the window, of course, as soon as we hit the middle of a pandemic. And then everyone was stuck at home. And if you were stuck at home in a tiny house, you were like, oh my God, what am I doing? What did I do? This little tiny house. Now I want an actual space. I want some property. I want to have a place to live. I don't want to live in the city. And so you saw this exodus from people moving out of the city towards the suburban areas, but even further than the suburbs, the exurbs up into the mountains. They wanted to live near a lake. They didn't want to be near a city. So you saw an explosion of move out of New York City up into the Hudson Valley. Same thing is true of San Francisco, people moving out of the city, people moving out of Los Angeles, into other states even, people leaving Los Angeles in droves, moving to Arizona and Utah and Nevada and Texas specifically, where they could get some more land, more space. So we saw this reversal from this tiny home era to we want larger homes and we want more space and we don't necessarily need to be in the cities. Now you're seeing some of this obviously migration back to the cities, but to New York City specifically, but it's never going to be at the level that it was. I shouldn't say never. Things with New York City are always, you know, they go in big waves, but right now people are seeing that they could actually live at home. They can remotely work 3 days a week. Or they can travel to their job a few days a week and then remotely work the other days a week. So we're in a weird era right now, and there's a number of companies right now that are even pushing for a possible 3-day work week and saying, hey, we'll let you have off 4 days. We want you to work 3 days, or 3 days in the office and then 2 days at home. So you can choose your work week. Apple's being flexible in that way. Twitter is being flexible in that way. A lot of big companies are saying, you pick and choose. You know, you want to take Tuesdays and Thursdays at home? Great. Come in Monday, Wednesday, Friday to the office. So a lot of differences there. Now, we haven't had this isn't a new problem, by the way, this housing shortage. It's certainly not improving in any appreciable way. For reference, in 2019, this same Realtor.com report found a shortage of 3.84 million homes in 2019, and we haven't gotten any better. But between the pandemic and the end of the red hot 2021 housing market, things aren't looking very good right now. There's a number of key things in this report that I want to go through that led us to this situation we're currently in. Number one, we have a workers shortage. We just don't have the labor. Earlier this year, a report released by Home Builders Institute estimated that the construction industry is short 200,000 workers. So if you've got anyone in your family that's thinking about joining a trade instead of wasting money on going to college, can learn to become a carpenter, a framer, a drywall expert, an electrician, etc., there's incredible demand for these positions right now. And guess what? They're paying very, very well. Plumbing, carpentry, electrical work, all of it paying very well, and there's a huge demand for it right now. So good luck trying to get any work done at the moment. I don't know how many of you watching right now are trying to hire contractors for jobs, but good luck. They're probably on a waiting list. We recently had some work done on our house after we moved in, and we needed new closets built. And we needed something done in our pantry, like building shelving in the pantry. And she was completely booked up. And then while she was here, I kind of threw, you know, that's how I operate. I kind of threw a few other projects at her. I'm like, hey, I really love to us to build a thing that can protect our wood pile, you know, instead of a tarp that I've got on it right now, like a proper little thing. And she's okay, great. And she's like, I can probably do it in like about 8 months. I'm like, what? So yes, the absolute demand right now for construction workers and workers of any trade in the home building sector. Another reason that this report is really disturbing is disruptions in the supply chain. Early on, we didn't have as much of a supply chain problem disruption, right? If we were getting our lumber, we were getting it from Canada. So Canada, not a problem. China, though, a problem. Essential items, though, like lumber and paint now have been difficult to obtain. Suddenly now, in large quantities, getting lumber in large quantities, you had all of these sawmills that were shut down. So in the early stages, oh, it's not a big deal. We can get it from Canada. That's where we normally get it. Well, yeah, but guess what happens? Then when all of the sawmills shut down, now there's a huge demand buildup, okay? And the whole supply chain, everything gets affected, right? I mean, everything is affected right now in supply and demand. If you want to buy, I was talking to my friend David, he wants to buy an overlanding vehicle, sold out. Good luck, not even going to get it. I read a report about snowmobiles. In May of this year, snowmobiles were sold out. Who's thinking about buying a snowmobile in May? Well, people, and they were already sold out for the year. In May, like you're thinking about the pool, right? In summer, not thinking about snowmobiles. Well, you can't get them. They're sold out. Supply chain issues. Same thing with Apple Watches, right? Apple announced new Apple Watches, new iPhones 2 weeks ago at their event. Guess what? They said later in the fall, Apple Watches would be available. We're like, huh? Supply chain related issues. Turns out Apple Watches are going on sale on Friday, but we'll see how long and how constrained they are because of chip shortages and everything else. So everything is being affected by this global supply chain shortage right now. We've seen huge spikes in prices as a result. When there's more demand, prices go up. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, supply and demand. That's why oil prices are going up, because of the demand. Also, millennials coming of age right now. And so let's dive a little deeper into the millennials question here. It's estimated 12.5 million households have been formed since 2012. Getting married, maybe a child on the way. Only 7 million homes, though, were built. A little disjointed there, isn't it? 7 million homes were built. 12.5 million families were created during this time. So this millennial generation gap is huge. And as they look into settle into homes right now, really, really difficult to find homes. And this is just exacerbating the overall issue of a shrinking inventory right now. Today's episode is brought to you by Masterworks. At $3,185 per square foot, is this the most expensive real estate on the planet? It's 1.5 times more expensive than London, 3 times more expensive than a chateau in Paris, 4 times as expensive as a condo in Miami, with an average appreciation that beats traditional real estate. It's no wonder why the wealthy are flocking to this asset in droves. The real estate we're talking about is fine art. And because it's outperformed the S&P 500 from 1995 to 2020, it's no wonder that 85% of wealth advisors recommend offering it to clients as a way to grow your wealth. In fact, they recommend you allocate at least 10% of your portfolio to art. And up until now, priceless masterpieces were off limits to all but the most wealthy. But that has all changed because thanks to a platform that's worth more than $1 billion called Masterworks.io, you can now invest in million-dollar paintings by artists like Picasso, Banksy, and Basquiat. To discover how to access this asset class valued at over $1.7 trillion and take part in lucrative million-dollar offerings with a fraction of the cost, visit masterworks.io/investing. Once again, that's masterworks.io/investing, not, you know, the kind of traditional dot whatever that you're used to. It's masterworks.io/investing. See important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. So what does a housing shortage mean for you as an investor? Because again, I always like to remind you that when you see stories on CNBC, and I think they have like one housing reporter, Dana Olnick, who does a good job, but she only covers the retail sector. And so again, when she's talking about housing prices and housing inventory and all of those things, it's related to the retail market. It's related to the millennial first time home buyer. It's related to the baby boomers wanting to downsize from the large home into a smaller home, et cetera. She's not talking about investors. I really think mainstream media just doesn't understand me and what we do as an investor at all. They have no understanding of it. So on the investing side, what does this mean for investors? For the housing shortage, what does this mean for investors? Well, as you know, one of the most important components of making a solid investment is buying correctly. And that can be hard to do right now with low inventory and overpriced homes in a lot of markets. And so what people end up doing in these situations is they make stupid decisions. So as an investor, you need to just remember the fundamentals, right? Low vacancy rates in the neighborhood where you're buying, low crime, great school districts, expanding job market, okay? Great property management, landlord-friendly state, recession resistant, okay? Pandemic resistant. All of those things and more go into making a decision about where to invest. And if any of those things seem out of whack now to you, for instance, like for instance, you may say, well, I'm going to start to gravitate to this area because it's cheaper. Okay, why is it cheaper? Higher crime? Worse school districts? Stay away from it, right? And as an investor, you need to be thinking smart and waiting for these market cycles, making sure that all of the numbers make sense on paper. What is the internal rate of return? When you get financing on the property, what is the cash flow? Do the numbers make sense? Is the internal rate of return still solid? Are you getting a great return on your investment? The ROI, the numbers don't lie. Don't try to massage them in some way. It's not going to work. So you know, overpriced homes are going to be out there. You're going to notice these overpriced homes. But again, what is the return on that investment for the cash flow perspective when you line it up with a property management team? You know, what is the tenant going to pay in that property? Is this out of whack? Are we in a bit of a bubble? You need to pay attention to all of those things. Or are we seeing consistent job growth? And the reason that prices are going up here is because guess what? There's a lot of jobs in this area, right? They just built a new school district. There's a population increase. There's a reason that homes are being built. There's a reason that maybe prices are going up. You need to pay attention to those things. With interest rates being so low, though, it's a great time to lock in these rates right now. I'm going to tell you right now, interest rates are going up, okay? They are going up. The Federal Reserve is about to pull back on their bond purchase buying program. They are going to stop funneling money to Wall Street. Right now, they're funneling about $120 billion a month to Wall Street, okay? They are going to pull this back significantly, probably starting in November. What that means is that we could see higher inflation issue, higher interest rates. They're going to raise rates to try to counter the inflation. Get ready for higher interest rates. And I'm talking like huge increases in interest rates, but we will likely see point or more, and that can really put the screech on, you know, or put the brakes on, causing a screech. It can really put the brakes on a housing market. We saw that in 2019. Or 2019? Yeah, or 2018. One of those. I think it was 2018. Right in the fall of 2018, going into 2019, of course, interest rates were increased by about a point. The entire housing market ground to a halt just before in November of that year. 1 point can completely alter the landscape in a housing market. So lock in those interest rates now as a real estate investor if you have the opportunity. So if you're able to find a great deal and the numbers make sense, I think you should just go for it. That's my personal opinion. That's what I would do if I was able to get those interest rates and I found a great deal that was cash flowing. Also, if you have the ability to build or find a new construction property, like what we do at Morris Invest, that's incredibly powerful. It's a great way to move the needle on this shortage right now. Of course, this is alone isn't solving the entire problem. I mean, but getting a new construction property, you're helping, you know, you're helping focus on fixing part of this problem right now, which is the housing shortage. You know, we're building 500 to 600 homes in a calendar year at our company with our team right now in our different markets. That's not even a drop in the bucket, right? These hedge funds come in, they're building 200 homes in a subdivision. Think about it. We need millions of homes. This is not a drop in the bucket, but if you can get a new construction property, you're likely to get a tenant that's going to want to stay a long time. You're going to be able to get a great rental price on that, great rent, great cash flow, and especially if you're able to get it in a great school district. This sort of helps you through this weird period that we're in right now. So this isn't alone as installment, but it's still going to have to deal with a lot of the economic problems that we're facing, the labor shortages of getting the workers and so forth. But again, if you can get one of those new construction properties, good for you in that process. But when you can add affordable housing into any market, you know, this is something you should feel good about. And I know that we feel that way at our company. I mean, because we're able to take a neighborhood where they need housing. They want to be in this school district and there's nothing available. Nothing. So that's why we have a waiting list for tenants right now in our properties. There's just an incredible demand for it. So it's really a great time as a rental investor if you can find the right deals, lock in these rates now. Yes. And so as Lindsay's saying in the chat, what's the video for calculating internal rate of return? So we have a full video here on the channel on internal rate of return. I would include, you know, it's in the chat below. We'll have it in the link in the description below. If you're watching this later, go there, please watch that video. It really, we use real world examples of some of our new construction properties so you can see what an internal rate of return is based on getting financing and that cash flow and taxes and all of that stuff. All of those numbers we put up on the screen so you can have a full example there. So, you know, I think, and not to pat myself on the back here, but our team has personally been recently thanked by the mayor of Lubbock, Texas. So our construction team has done a fantastic job. And where we're building a large portion of our properties is in Lubbock, Texas. And we're building really nice properties in some of the best school districts in that area. That's why they're in such incredible demand. We bought the land, we built the houses, the townhomes, the single families, and the duplexes. And they're a great place for people to live. And so the mayor in Lubbock it was thrilled with our continuing of our building efforts there and the new construction homes to fill out that housing need. So it was quite a wonderful thing to have the mayor of Lubbock, you know, thanking our team for the work that they've been doing to help deal with the population increase in that area. That's been really fantastic. I'm passionate about our new construction properties for many reasons, and it's a big part of the solution to this affordable housing crisis. Again, we're building 500 to 600 homes a year. It's a drop in the bucket, but they're affordable homes. They're a great place for people to live. They're in great school districts. in emerging markets where there's a lot of job growth, in landlord-friendly areas with low crime and low vacancy rates, and you know, just a great place for kids to grow up with a backyard where they can ride their bikes and not feel like they're, you know, in a rundown area. They're in a great neighborhood where they can play with friends on the same street. And by the way, I'd love for you to see my video. If you haven't seen my video on why we build new construction properties, we'll link that video up as well in the chat below and in the description so you can see why we're passionate about building new construction properties. And trust me, for many, many years, I did renovations on older properties and just new construction for me is our main goal going forward for the next 10 years of the company because of what we can do in the affordable housing space. So go out and check out that video. So overall, that's what's happening right now in this housing market. We've got 200,000 workers that are needed. We obviously have a supply shortage on a number of different building materials. We have an incredible demand, not only from millennials, but people looking to move out of cities to get to in some of these areas where there's a potential for job growth and low vacancy rate, low crime, and there's just not the houses. So again, one of the big pieces of the infrastructure package is affordable housing. We'll see how all this shakes out. We still don't have a finalized infrastructure package from the Democrats yet on this. We have a bipartisan infrastructure bill, which is in many ways a big wet kiss for Wall Street. But the $3.5 trillion stimulus package has a lot of really interesting things in there for affordable housing. So we will see what sort of incentives are in there and how this can alleviate some of this pain right now that the United States is experiencing with its housing shortage. Hey, if you're new here, please hit that subscribe button. This is a show where we teach you how to become financially free and to build financial intelligence through real estate investing.